have to let you know, there is a huge watcher angel standing right in front of that clock. The Lord wanted me to let you know he's there first to encourage you. He has, if you've ever read Genesis, I think it's chapter 4, chapter 5, when they, the angel, the cherubim that he put there that has the fiery sword, he has a fiery sword in one hand, and in the other hand, he has a torch, a light, a lantern is what it is. It's a huge lantern. So he's watching for you, but he's also holding that lantern for the entire region. And I do honor my husband and my son. I love them tremendously. I have to tell you the reason we're in two different places, because we're all one, right, in the body. I just want to honor you to let you know why we're in two different places. I lead the prophetic ministry at Center City Church with Dan and Sherry. Been there almost 8 years, and the Lord's just not said I could leave. My husband felt that he was to leave and to reap and grow at New Day. I've not been loose from my assignment, and I am on assignment. The Lord has clearly made that aware to me. I flow in the prophetic there, and I just have to let you know from first out the gate before I pray, I'm just an encourager. I don't like titles. I'll never tell you I'm anything. I'm a wife, and I'm a mother, and I'm a daughter. But I don't like titles, but I believe any of us can flow in the prophetic. But the thing that I am is an encourager. From the very, I think the moment I came out of my mother's womb, I love, absolutely love to encourage. So I just have to let you know that's my heart, number one. So let us pray. Oh, God, you're so good. So, 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 so good. So, so good. And Lord, I just bless you. I just welcome you, Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And we welcome the hosts of heaven to come. Angelic ministers, we welcome you to come and move and operate and have your way to minister in this place. That on assignment to the word of God, as the word is spoken, that Lord, you will send the ministers to make it so in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for your power and your glory and your ever present nearness with us now, Lord, that you will be a habitation in this place, that you will do everything that you want to do and your way and your will. Bless the words that they would come forth in love and power as you would have them to. And Lord, that it would be sensitive, that I would have eyes to see and ears to hear what you are saying and doing in this place for these people, for your glory to be moved and changed from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Spring up, O well. Do you know the song by Phil Wickham? Will you sing it with me? We're to all sing it. I can't help it. It's just what I do. You don't have to come back to the, it's just, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison's door, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that lie. I'm all off key. Abundantly. Amen. That is who you are. So just know the Lord said that first, that you spring up a well in this place over time, over generations, from just like Jacob's well that feeds the entire flock. You can read it. I think it's Genesis 29. I am not a theologian. I am not a, like, never been to doctrine or whatever. None of that. But I believe it's Genesis 29 that Jacob's well watered the entire flock. And I could see angels ascending and descending. So the Lord really wanted me to tell you that you're not alone, that you have so much help, that you may feel like you're not, that you're alone. But God has sent so many angelic ministers to help you in this place. And you feel like you're small in number, but you're really not. So God is working powerfully. He told me, he said, you're God's people, you're a chosen generation, and you're a royal priesthood. All of you. It's so much unity in a family in this place. It's powerful. And I have so much. So I don't want to feel like a fire hydrant. I want to pause and make sure that I give to you. But I'm not a normal speaker that would come. You could have thousands of speakers come. The Lord told me that I am to be his messenger, his ambassador, to give you the word of the Lord to the house. This is the house of God. And he sent me to encourage the house. So I'm not going to tell you a revelation. This is personal words to you as the house. And then, yes, there's personal words that I'm hoping are for the people. The Lord told me first, this is a house of a fire of intercession. I saw five of you. If you five that were back there, will you stand for me? I just want to bless you really quick. He said the intercessors and the prayer focus are powerful beyond what you know. It has reached to measures and great places that you will never meet on this earth. There is millions that the five of you, there's one missing.
Yeah, Janine, weren't you there?
I was in the other room.
No, you were in there.
Yeah, you were there. That's
good.
That's
there you are. But there's fire on the coals on the altar. It is an all-consuming fire. So get ready to be consumed with the fire of God. And if you would, you don't have to, but that fire in there, if you'll turn it on every time that you're in there. Because it blew me away that when I walked in, there was a fireplace. Because I knew what the Lord had told me before I even knew where you met. I just thought maybe, like at Center City, we just meet in a room, right, in the church. No, you guys meet in a room gathered around a fireplace. It's amazing. But he said, what makes a fire? He said it like 10 times. Fire, 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 fire. I'm not going to say it 10 times. But loose the fire of God over you that's on the throne of God. You are all to be fire on the altar of God. And there is fire in his eyes, and his eyes are ablaze with fire. And he is watching over you and giving you everything you're to intercede for. He took me to this passage for you. It's Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 1 and 3, I will stand at my guard post. This is you. This is personal for the five of you. You stand at the guard post. You station yourself on the tower and you keep watch to see what he's going to say to you and what answer you will give as his spokesman when you are reproved. And then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, engrave it plainly. The Lord's going to tell you so many things. This he may be doing. If you haven't wrote the visions that he's given you, write them. This body, this house needs to know the visions from the generations, because there's generations that your parents have given you over this house. They may not still be here, but they are here to declare for the glory of God. So you know the rest of it. The vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail, even though it delays. Wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. You were told, this is what he said for me to tell you. You were told to pray and be specific. You were stirred in your heart to start a fire. And then he said, I love a fire. He told me, what does it take to make a fire? My husband was a fireman, so he's probably going to be like, you didn't. You needed to say this and you didn't say this. But anyways, grace, right? Y'all give me grace. I'm a woman. I absolutely love a fire. In my house growing up, and in our house now, we have a fireplace, and I love making a fire. It's not an easy task, y'all. Amen. Me as a woman, I tried to make many fires until I tried it probably 8 years old. My parents were gone, and I was cold. It's in the summer, you know, it's in the winter, dead of winter, and I knew what Diddy was doing. I'm 8 years old. I almost burned the house down trying to make a fire because I wanted a fire, but I couldn't. It was bad. Anyways, it takes a place. There has to be a place, right? And you intercessors are making a place. The next thing it takes is wood. And it can't be wet wood. It has to be dry wood. The older the wood, the better. Do you hear me? You have to hear me with your spirit ears. The older the wood, the better.
Yeah.
And certain types of wood burn better, like cedar, and hotter than other woods. It takes material to make it start like, so besides the wood, you have to have other material that makes it start, like cardboard or newspaper or other paper. And then it takes fuel. It takes a spark or an igniter and some kind, something to light it. It takes the right amount of oxygen. It takes spaces of the work for circulation. The thing about a fire is when you start, it's different every time. And you don't know if what you put together will be a good fire and if it's going to stay, because what it did last time to make the fire might not work this time. That's you as intercessors. So the thing about the fire is you keep it going. Amen. It stays lit in this house. Amen. What's the minimum for a fire? The Lord said, there's powerful coals in this house. Whenever there's coals, you can always have a fire. Many, many times my father on a cold morning would go and open up the fireplace. There's nothing but coals, but there's always a spark. So all you need is the coals to make the fire start again. So it's hard when I know what I just said when I went back. My daddy could work the coals and he could get the fire going again in the morning. The Father is working with the coals in this place, and you have all the right elements for a blazing fire. Prayer focus and focused prayer. Fire. And Jesus is in the fire with you and the Holy Spirit fueling the fire. So if you each will touch your belly, I just want to bless you. Thank you, God, for your grace and power and the fire of intercession that you have put on these in the house. We just say more, God, that just like Isaiah, when he said in chapter 6 that the coals on the altar, you took them and put them in his tongue. God, we bless these with the fire from the altar to burn and burn and burn for this house, for the glory of God, that it be more than they've ever experienced, that it will go forth and accomplish everything that you have purposed from the kingdom of heaven to the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You can sit down. The next thing was the house was where the Lord took me for you was Nehemiah. So Jan, if you want to put Nehemiah up, you can. I'm going to be in Nehemiah some for the house. And I mean Wellspring for the house. You guys are in the house. But Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to start there. The words or story of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, now in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year of the Persian king, as I was in the castle of Shushan. And if I pronounce this wrong, y'all, I'm just a little girl from North Carolina. Y'all have to help me, Pastor. I don't know how to say these things. Hananiah, one of my kinsmen, came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them about the surviving Jews who had escaped exile and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who escaped exile are in great trouble and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its fortified gates are destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept and mourned for days and fasted and prayed constantly before the God of heaven. And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God who keeps covenant, loving kindness and mercy for those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to listen to the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you day and night. For the Israelites, your servants, confessing the sins of the Israelites, which we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my father's house have sinned. We have, and that was where I felt the stop. At first, I felt like the Lord told me, you're a people that are the remnant, and you are like Nehemiah here, crying out for the people that have walked away from God and those who are corrupt. You've really been fasting and praying for our country. So Nehemiah receives word that Jerusalem is in shambles, both physically and spiritually. You've looked around and you're a remnant of people that passionately care about what God's doing. Nehemiah is moved with great compassion and he knows God's faithful. And he also knows he can't do it without God's help. Y'all, this is spiritual for you each here that with your spirit ears. You are the same. God is working through you on a mission of restoration like he does with Nehemiah. So let's go through it really quick. Verse 10 and 11, it says, now these are your servants and your people. whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere and fear your name, your nature and your attributes. And prosper, I pray you, your servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for he was a cupbearer to the king. I kept hearing this prayer coming from your heart to the throne of God. This is not just for the intercessors. This has been your incense to him for generations. I asked the pastor how long Wellspring had been in existence, and I knew this had been going on for 70 years at least, that you'd prayed this prayer. That over and over and over again, you've poured forth this very passionate cry of your heart. Nehemiah had confidence in the power of God like you do. He offered this prayer before he delivered the cup into the king's hand. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king, and I believe you as a body of believers are cupbearers to the king. So what does it mean to be the cupbearer? He'll tell us in just a second in chapter 2 what he does, but the word cupbearer is an actual verb. It's action. It's taking action. Being a cupbearer means you're doing something, and you're doing something. It's to give drink, and which you're a spring, right? You give drink and you cause to drink water. It's to water, to irrigate, to be watered and variant. The Strong's definition is a primitive root to irrigate or furnish a potion to, which means sometimes they were looking out for poison in the wine. So it causes to give to, let, make to, or drink, to drown and to moisten. Wow. So water and wine. What would the king drink in his cup? Water and wine. Wine and water. Water and wine. That's what they offered Jesus, right? So it's so much of who you are to Jesus, to the earth. You prepare the cup for the king. He would have been like the king's butler. The Persians call him Seki, which gave him the opportunity of being frequently with the king. Do you hear that? You're frequently with the king. So good. And to be in such a place of trust, he must be in the king's confidence. No Eastern potentate would have a cupbearer with whom he could not trust his life. Poison being frequently administered in this way, they would try to put poison in the cup of the king. Nehemiah would have tasted the cup before he offered it to the king. He would have tasted the poison sacrificially before he offered the cup to the king. It's amazing. The Lord said, you're his cupbearers. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, 1 through 8. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King when wine was placed before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not previously been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, and the king says to you today, why do you look sad when you're not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. Then I was very frightened and said to the king, O king, live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? The king said to me, what do you request? What, Wellspring, is your request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servants found favor in your presence, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, so that I may rebuild it. The king, beside whom the queen was sitting, asked me, how long will your journey take and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time for my return. Then I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me. This is where you're writing it down. The governors of the provinces, because it's a reminder. The reason we write is to remind. That's what the Lord was saying. The things that he's told you, write it so it can be reminded to the generations that need it later. It's powerful. So that's why he wrote it, to send it as a message. We write down the message of the Lord. Oh, Jan, where was I? If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the provinces beyond the Euphrates River, so that they will allow me to pass through until I reach Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, so that he will give me timber to construct beams for the gates of the fortress, which is by the temple, and for the city wall, and for the house which I will occupy. And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me. He's given you the resources you've built. So the Lord, he was telling me how much of builders that you are. You are builders. And he said, what was built by those before you? There's those that went before you. Some of you have been here, you know, before all this now, you know, a long time. You may not have even met them, but you are building. That was the main word he told me to tell you, that you are building. You are building in here. You are building, and you are builders, and you are restoring, and you are creating. What was the original purpose? I don't know, but God told me to ask you. These are questions I'm leaving you with, because God wants you to know and come back to him and ask him, what was the original purpose? Amen. Nehemiah knew the original purpose. What was your original purpose? What did God tell this house? God's hand is powerfully upon you. God was right there. The Father, Jesus stood right beside me this morning. And he said, I am with you. I am with you. Jesus is with you. Do you need anything? I mean, the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. It's amazing. God's hand is upon you for something significant in this land, just like Nehemiah. I felt like there's been some opposition for you in this house, and I want you to see how Nehemiah flowed, because I believe it's similar to you, and I read this to encourage you. God is going to build with you despite the opposition from the officials in the land, despite those that you may think are your brothers and sisters outside of this house. God is going to build despite the opposition. He's going to build with you despite the setbacks and objections that you've faced. So verse 10 in chapter 2 says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and y'all can put the names in here because y'all know the people that have, you know, come to y'all and said, ah, you can't do this, you can't do that, why would you want to do that? It caused them great displeasure that someone had come to see about the welfare and prosperity of the Israelites. Woo! Then I said to them, you see the bad situation that we're in, how Jerusalem is desolate and lies in ruins. You could put America, you could put Martinsville, whatever name you want to put right here. This is what is being said. And its gates have been burned with fire. Come and let us rebuild the wall so that we will no longer be a disgrace. And then I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the words that the king had spoken to me. Tell it. The Lord said to tell it. You know it, so tell it. Y'all, it's so important in this house to tell it. Amen. Tell it. Let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. You've been building, but the Lord wants you to build. It's so powerful. Build, build. I can say it over and over, but build. So they thoroughly supported the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and the Tobiah the Ammonite and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked us and regarded us with contempt and said, what is this thing you're doing? If you're not being mocked, and then you're not doing something. That means you're doing something, y'all. I'm just saying. So what is this thing you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Absolutely not. You have the blessing of the king. His hand is upon you. The God of heaven has appointed you for his purpose and will give you success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. So those that have mocked you, offended you, you say whatever, they won't have a portion in what God's doing. So Nehemiah chapter 3 tells us how they built. I'm not going to take the time to read it all, but you can look at it as you'd like. Nehemiah chapter 3 mentions all the men, because I would butcher their names and I want to honor all of them. So they took their place on the wall. Each person has a place that you have to be. I can't be in your place. I can't. I can only be in my place. Each of them were in a place to build what they each were to do. Different families on different portions of the wall. Each of you make your own place in the building, and it's in a different timing as the Lord wills. It takes, and the other thing he spoke to me, he woke me up saying this about y'all, it takes many layers. So the way I build, I might build faster than you build, but your layer of your foundation that God is building in you, and now I'm speaking to you personally and your gifts and your abilities, God may take longer to build your foundation than he takes to build mine. And that's okay. We're all building on the wall together. And it takes different stages to build over time, different anointings. That's in Ephesians. He told us we all have different giftings and different. I need my ear, but I also need my little toe, right? So it's all important in the building. So the people inspired by Nehemiah, they gave their tithes and supplies and manpower to do what it took to build despite much opposition. You're building something and those the Lord is calling will come. And you're building it different. You're built different. My son, he knows I'm going to tell this story. He gave me my permission or his permission. My son's 13 years old. He's 6 foot tall, 150 pounds. If y'all know, that's not normal, right? And I'm an average size woman. My husband's 6'1". My family, my brother's 6'4". My son is far beyond. Yeah, he's just getting started. That's right. So what he would say all the time, y'all, he would, we're doing something. I'm built different. What? I didn't like it. I hated it when he said it. I felt the pride and, well, I thought it was pride. I thought it was pride and arrogance. Woo. Feel the. And then I prayed for y'all. The Lord said he's built different. So don't ever correct him again. The Lord said, I made him different. And you're built different. You can't look at your family. You can't look at somebody else. You can't look at the community because you're built different. And God made it that way to fulfill the purpose and the plan that you have for this region and this area. Wellspring is built different. You can't look around and find anyone else quite like you. You can't look at Center City and go say, oh, man, that's an amazing house. It is, but it's not your house. Right. We live in a log home, and, man, it's amazing. I love it. But nobody else's house is my house, and it's not perfect. Like, we have a lot to do on the log home because, you know, the war, things are, you know, you, that's just what you do, right? You build it. But the Lord said there's been Nehemiah's time span was approximately 19 to 25 years that he was in this land. They took 52 days to build. 52 days. That's all it took. 52 days. And you know why? Because they came together. They were focused on what they knew they were supposed to do. And each one was busy moving and operating in their own place. Because like I said, the ear can't do what the toe's doing. But you support each other. They established, and the Lord said for me to ask you, what have you been building? They established true worship through prayer and encouraging the people to read and adhere to the Word of God. You have ministered to so many with physical. I saw that you've ministered to so many with physical, spiritual, and mental hurts. Like, this is really a hospital for those that are hurt and wounded. And the Lord is really going to honor you for that because you have so much compassion, just like Jesus. You've great and genuine compassion and have even sacrificed your own comforts to minister properly as the Holy Spirit leads you. verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, "So we built the wall, and all of it was joined together to half its height for the people." It didn't say the pastor, y'all. It didn't say the prophet. It didn't say the evangelist. It didn't say the intercessor. It said the people. What did y'all say? It says the people. Had a heart and a mind to work. So it takes spirit and flesh. Verse 13 through 23, you can read it. It even goes on further with just other different things. But the Lord tremendously blessed them. And verse 9, verse 5 and 6 is what I want to make sure I read. "Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani," help me, Jesus, "said, 'Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. May your glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessing and praise. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the heavenly bodies, the earth and everything that is on it, the seas and everything that is in them. You give life to all of them. And the heavenly host is bowing down in worship to you." And that is him in the place. Acts 5, verse 12 and 14. "And through the hands of the apostles, through the hands of the people at Wellspring, many signs and wonders are going to be done among the people. And they were also all with one accord in Wellspring, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly." I'm talking about the community now. That's the community around them. "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." And this I felt like was a word for you. "From now until the end of time, signs and wonders will bring believers to the Lord. I believe as you continue to build, like the Lord leads, this church will grow. You may have tried many things for many years, but now God is doing things differently. And he knows how to use the right thing and the right frequency you have to do what he wants here. God's ways will be effortless." Somebody needs to hear that again. "God's ways will be effortless. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." "God's ways will be effortless. And like for the people and Nehemiah, it will be a coming together. It won't be in your own efforts, but by doing it his way. The glory of God is using the little people and working miracles with hunger and compassion." The next thing the Lord wanted me to bless you with was the seekers. He showed me for you the first message Jesus speaks. You can look it up. Is to the seekers. S-E-E-K-E-R-S. Seekers. I have Nash County English, so I want to make sure y'all hear me. Seekers. Matthew chapter 12, verse 12 through 17 is to the seekers. And let's read that really quick. I know y'all. I'm hurrying. 12 through 17. Thank you. "Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested and put in prison, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea in the country of Zebulun and Naphtali, that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be brought to pass. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali and the way to the sea." Verse 17. We'll read 16 because it's good. "The people who sat dwelt enveloped in darkness," because y'all are to do this. That's why he's back there with the lantern. "Have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the land and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, crying out, 'Repent, change your mind for the better. Heartily amend your ways with abhorrence to your past sins. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he is saying to the seekers, "I am bringing the kingdom of heaven in greater measure." Matthew 6, verse 33. The word, it goes forth and it accomplishes what God would have it. Verse 33, Matthew chapter 6 says, "But seek first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. What are all these things? Well, verse 32 says, what your heavenly Father knows well that you need all. He didn't say anything. He just says that you need all. So these things are all that you need. So, and then Matthew 7:7, keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door is being opened to you. And this is personal to y'all. Matthew 7:7. Seek in the Bible is 341 times with promises associated to it. Because I'll say that in a second. And when you search, it's only 111 times. So to me, in my primitive little thinking, it's more important to seek than it is search. So what's the difference? The difference is the object to what you're after. The object to seek is an item you're trying to locate. The object of search is a location you're trying to find. Well, we could go anywhere, but I want a person. I want the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Father of all the universe, to be with us. That's who we're seeking. And which one do you want to be? That's what God's asking you today. Do you want to be a seeker or a searcher? I saw a vision of going into a cave seeking treasure. And you have this little light of mine. All I have is like this little tiny, you know, little bitty flashlights that we can have that are about the size of your hand. That's what I had in my hand. But I can't see beyond that little light. That's all I could see. But I knew there was treasure ahead of me. The Lord said, you know, something amazing is in the cave, but it's dark and damp and it's not comfortable. Will you, Wellspring, continue to seek? Seeking is going to cost you something. You might lose things along the way as you seek. Will you continue to go? Will you seek until you find? I believe along the way, the Lord will increase himself to you. We're in a day of increase. You will become stronger. He will give you stamina. He will give you energy. He will give you might. He is giving you life and life more abundantly. There's drops of water from the ceiling that will fall and refresh you. He will remind you of his word and you will hear it in your heart and press on. Where are the seekers? Where are the builders and where are the seekers? I believe you're a body of believers called to be seekers. What are you seeking? Isaiah 55:6 says, seek him while he may be found. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whatever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. There's no more striving. He said that over you so many times. No striving, no striving, no striving. Like talking to a child. No striving. No striving. No striving to obtain what you've already been given. You've already been given it. My son, he doesn't have to think about going to the refrigerator to get milk. He's a son. He just goes and gets milk. You're children of the Most High God that he's already given you the things that you need. No more striving. Bringing forth the new of God with the spirit of power and truth like never before. I'm supposed to say this over you because this is a prophetic word for you. You are bringing forth the new of God with the spirit of power and truth like never before. It's out with the old and in with the new. My son was trying to use a pan. We were fixing pierogies. This has been like 3 months ago. And the pan was probably as old as our marriage. We've been married 18 years. And I think we got it as a wedding gift. And the pan was warped. Y'all know how pans get over time, right? This thing was warped and it was just not working. And the Lord said, why are you trying to use the old to make the new? What? It was warped and old and it would not work for the purpose that I needed it. And what was even better, we had a new one in the shelf. God had already provided what you needed. You just had to get it off the shelf. It was perfect. It was ready. It was exactly what he needed. He's an amazing cook, by the way. My son, the 13-year-old that's built different. Yeah. He's a good cook. New wine in old wineskins. Does it work? Do we know? What'd he say? No. You are the new to bring forth what God's doing. Buckminster Fuller once said that you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. That's what you're building. Step over into the new. Cross over the line. You are to do some crossing over. I saw that for you. There was just, you know, we could say the chicken line. You could say whatever. You're to cross over. The people of Israel had to cross over the Red Sea to leave where they were in bondage and slavery. They had to cross over. It's time to cross over. Your pantry. The pantry, you've been working out of the pantry, which is amazing. And the people of Israel did that. But you're now to see the storehouses. I want you guys to picture you are to be working out of the storehouses and not the pantry. The pantry can only hold so much. Jake, when we were on the way here, he saw this warehouse right when we crossed into Virginia, or we were right. And he was like, man, I could do a lot with that warehouse. Y'all have storehouses, no longer pantry mindset. Fresh wind and fresh fire, all things are becoming new. And there's just a couple of passages I feel like I'm to also share and release in the house, just as the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8, chapter 1. These are the words that the Lord is personally speaking to the house and you as the people. Chapter 8, verse 1. Hey, good job. All the commandments which I command you this day, you shall be watchful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give you and your fathers. And I'm probably going to switch out the words for Wellspring at different points because that's how the Lord told me. So I know what the word says, but the Lord told me to prophesy this to you. And Wellspring shall earnestly remember all the way which the Lord your God led Wellspring these 70, what'd you say, Pastor? 74 years?
Plus 40, I'd like
43 years. 46 years. So it's close. I mean, they say 40, so we'll say 46 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you, to know what was your mind in your mind and your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you recognize and personally know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not become old upon you, nor did your feet swell these 46 years.
Right.
Know also in your minds and hearts that as a man disciplines and instructs his son, so the Lord your God disciplines and instructs you, Wellspring. So Wellspring shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in your ways and in his ways and reverently fear God, him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. Didn't know I was coming up to the mountain. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you shall eat food without shortage and lack nothing in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you've eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for all the good land which he has given you. Amen. And then Isaiah 41, verse 4. Whew, I hope this has been good. Look at y'all. Who has prepared and done this calling forth and guiding the destinies of the generations of the nations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first existing before history began, and with the last and ever-present unchanging God, I am He. The islands and coastlands have seen and feared the ends of the earth. They tremble. They draw near and the ends of the earth tremble. They draw near and come. They help everyone his neighbor and say to his brother in his tiresome idol making, be of good courage. Will you do that for me when it's time, when you're in the next years? Just say to your brothers and sisters, be of good courage. This is your word. So the carpenter encourages the goldsmith because you're on the wall, right? You're building. You're all different. He who smooths the metal with the hammer encourages him who smites the anvil, saying of the soldering, that is good, and he fastens it with nails so that it cannot be moved. I'm supposed to go to 13. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I, the Lord, have taken from the ends of the earth and have called from the corners of it and said to you, you are my servant. I've chosen you and not cast you off, even though you are exiled. Fear not. There is nothing to fear. We sang about it this morning. For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror. There it is again. And be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. That's spiritual. That means the demonic spirits that you guys have had to war against and be oppressed by in the land. God is taking care of that in the region. That's a regional thing for you. And verse 13 says, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not. I will help you. And I am to end with Jesus before I start doing personal. I will leave you with Jesus. He wanted me to leave you with Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. More and more Jesus. Revelations. I love Revelations. Chapter 1. Do you know Jesus? We have to know Jesus. Revelations chapter 1, verse 4. Y'all take a deep breath for me. It's good. Yes. Amen. I felt that so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord wants you to take deep breaths of Him. Because the Holy Spirit, what He does is when you breathe in the Holy Spirit and exhale all the yuck and blah and that, you can breathe Him in. And He's healing you and cleansing you as you do that prophetic act. God breathed into Adam's nostrils and He created. I just feel like you guys are all along just to do that prophetic act throughout your week, just to sit with the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, I'm breathing you in. Oh, so good. So, so good. Oh, Revelations 1, verse 4. John, to the seven assemblies that are in Asia, may grace, God's unmerited favor, be granted to you and spiritual peace. The peace of Christ's kingdom from Him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits, the sevenfold Holy Spirit before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince, ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who ever loves us and has once for all loosed and freed us from our sins by His own blood and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, or royal race. There y'all are again. Priest to His God and Father, to Him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall gaze upon him and beat their breasts and mourn and lament over him. Even so must it be. Amen. So be it. Verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. He who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the ruler of all. And then drop down to verse 12. We're going to read 12 through 18. Then I turned to see who was the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a robe which reached to his feet, and with a girdle of gold about his breast. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes, oh, his eyes, flashed like a flame of fire. His feet glowed like burnished bright bronze, and is refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth there came forth a sharp-edged two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full power at midday. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the ever-living one. I am living in the eternity of eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and hell, the realm of the dead. So God, we just bless you. We just ask you to seal this word upon this house, that you have all authority. You have all glory, all dominion in this place. And Lord, we take all these things captive under our feet now. God, that you have authority in this place to work and move and operate as you see fit. So Lord, we say yes and amen to what you want to do. And Lord, we say that you lead and we will follow. In Jesus' name, as your disciples. Amen. If you'll put your one hand on your head, one hand on your heart, because the Lord wanted me to bless your minds. Amen. So, Lord, I thank you that they have, just like somebody prayed earlier, the mind of Christ, that your minds will be the light of God, that the word of God will become light and manifest himself in your minds, that there'll be freedom, that the strongholds are being broken off now in the name of Jesus, of how we did it, and we did it this way, and then we did it that way, and no more religious ways. It's going to be the freedom and the spirit of God, even in your mind. So we say loosed to your mind in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you that there'll be rivers flowing forth from the throne of God, springing forth up out of these bellies to bring forth everything if they are individually in this earth to build and prosper as you would have them forth, that Spirit of God come forth out of each belly to resonate in ways, God. Lord, if they're not baptized in the Spirit, I just see you baptizing them in the Spirit now for the glory of God, that they will go forth and speak in other tongues and bless them, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will be, the Spirit will rise up in them in measures that they've not known. Lord, I thank you for the increase and the abundance. I thank you that you are sealing your word, that you'll continue to speak more and more and more, and that you will loose your angels, that you'll loose the host of heaven. Go with them and bless them and prosper them this week. Even do the miraculous. What they would say, how is that possible? I didn't know that that could be done, but God, you are doing it. I praise you for it, God. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for anything, Lord, that was not of you. We just say your will be done your way, and bless your people for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.